Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman along with Jeff McClain, both from Philly.com. And we are here after the Eagles' 33-10 win to advance to 7-1. They beat the San Francisco 49ers. It was not a very noteworthy win other than the fact that it continued their winning streak. The defense played outstanding against a poor offense. Carson Wentz was not spectacular. Jeff, we'll talk quickly about that win, and then we'll get to the trade deadline. But your quick take on the win.
Yeah, it just showed that they don't need Carson Wentz to play at an otherworldly type level. They have a very good defense. They have a strong special teams. They have strong special teams units. So, you know, when things aren't exactly clicking on the offensive side of the ball, they can win that way, which is important. And you're going to need that throughout the course of a season. I mean, there have been times, you know, in Aaron Rodgers' tenure and Tom Brady when they haven't the offense hasn't exactly been clicking for their respective teams, and you've needed other units to step up. And it's not like the defense has played poorly up until this point. I mean, I think for the most part, Jim Schwartz has done a great job, and the players on the defensive side of the ball have really brought it, and they've kind of created a little bit of an identity too. But that being said, the 49ers offense is not the type of offense that you want to, like, you know, hang your hat on in terms of stopping them. C.J. Beathard is a rookie quarterback, and I don't know if he's much more than a backup in the long run.
That offensive line was depleted. They don't have many skill position guys. So.
No, and yeah. So, but they still won by 23 points. I mean, when in the past have the Eagles offensively not gotten it done or struggled, and they found a way to lose against a team that was below their level? And this 49ers team is 0-8. Their defense has some talent, and I thought they did a really good job of scheming up against Carson Wentz and blitzing him and throwing different looks at the Eagles. And I think moving forward, this is something that the Eagles have to be concerned about. Actually, in fact, honestly, this is something that they've seen for over a month, right? You heard it after the Panthers game. Yep. Well, the Cardinals game, that's a blitz team anyway. So, and they did really good against the blitz that game. But the Panthers, they said it afterwards. We didn't see a lot of these exotic blitzes. Same thing with the Redskins, and now you're seeing it with the 49ers. So it's going to be something that's going to happen on a week-to-week basis, I think, because, number one, it's working. The Eagles aren't particularly playing well against the blitz. Carson Wentz is having his struggles, in part because the guys blocking in front of him and the running backs have been unable to identify and block some of those blitzes. But he's still a young quarterback. We have to keep that in mind when talking about Wentz. He's going to have games like this.
Now let's transition to the trade deadline, because that's a topic that fans are very interested in, and rightfully so. We should first offer the caveat that the NFL trade deadline, it's not like the NBA trade deadline. The NBA trade deadline, not like MLB trade deadline. There's very little activity often. But with Howie Roseman as the person running personnel for the Eagles, you can never discount a trade. He's shown that. And the Eagles at 7-1 are legitimate contenders. So what do you think is going to happen? And if they were to do something, what should they be looking for?
I mean, I've kind of made a few calls around, Zach, from other executives around the league. Not that I know everyone. I know a few. One response was no chatter involving the Eagles, whatever. But, I mean, who knows? I think if there's a time to make a move based off, you know, Howie's tenure, this would be it, because you do have a legitimate team here. You do have a team that could contend for more than just even the NFC East title. But are you one piece away? I mean, is that one piece going to make such a huge difference? Do you want to give up, again, future draft picks for someone who may not be able to kind of jump in and contribute? If I was Howie, I wouldn't look at someone to come in and fill a starting spot, say left tackle for Big V.
Yeah, I think that'd be foolish. I agree with you.
I would look for depth and look for someone that has starting experience, and maybe if one of your guys gets hurt or struggles, he can perhaps step in after a few weeks, several weeks of practicing and learning the scheme. It's a little easier on the defensive side of the ball to move in players. On the offensive side, it's difficult. It's going to be difficult to grab a guy in the offensive line and say, hey, you're going to be our starting left tackle, or to grab a running back and say, hey, you're going to be our primary you know, ball carrier, your primary pass blocker on third down. But I would certainly address some of those positions. You've been on the bandwagon for getting a veteran running back that can help on third downs.
Yes, I think that I'm with you that you don't go after a starter right now. I know they lost Jason Peters. I just think it's too hard to find a starter from the street at this point in the year, especially when they've invested in Halapulavati Vaitai. I think what you look more for is a role player, someone who fits a specific niche for you. And as you discussed it in talking about the game, blitzing against the Eagles is a concern right now. I think they need someone, a running back who's better in pass-blocking situations. And the name that you hear is Frank Gore because he's a veteran on a team that is really out of contention right now. And that's what he does really well, is picks up blitzes. Now, certainly, I wouldn't give up much for or really anything for him. You know, the Eagles don't have a seventh round pick this year. That complicates it. You might be talking about a 2019 pick, if that. I mean, to put that in perspective, that was the price that the Saints paid for John Dornbos. You know, so I don't think that you're giving up anything of significant value. I don't think the Eagles should. But if they can find someone who fits a particular role, and I look at a pass blocking running back to be that type of player, entering on third downs, they should do it.
Yeah, I think if they trade for someone, it's probably not going to be a sexy move that's going to get fans going crazy.
So you're not saying Calvin Johnson's going to be an Eagle?
Should we even talk about it?
I mean, we could talk about it because our readers listen to this, and I'm sure they've seen it on social media or heard about it at the water cooler at work.
Well, where did the report originate from?
That I didn't know. I saw
no one with an established record of reporting NFL news.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Mortensen of ESPN went on the radio, I think it said something like the Eagles were one of the two teams that inquired about Megatron, Calvin Johnson. But he said it was highly unlikely, maybe. From everything I've heard, just in chat around guys who cover the league and guys, agents, et cetera, he's not returning to play.
Yeah, that's a really hard one because you're not trading for a player, you're trading for his rights. You know, and then once you have his rights, then you need to negotiate.
Yeah, what do you have to give up for a guy? Yeah. And again, I don't know if he's in shape.
He's got
some extracurricular activities that could keep him from coming back clean into the NFL. What do you have to pay him?
Yeah,
do you have salary cap? Just seems kind of out there.
Now, if it were to somehow happen, it's a great story for us to cover. But I think at this point, I haven't heard anything that would suggest that it's on the verge of happening or anything of that nature.
No.
Yeah. But
less than 1% chance.
But you've covered Howie Roseman for, I believe, the entirety of his time controlling personnel.
We go way back, and we're super close because of that.
Yeah. You know him. I've known him now for 6 years. The one thing we can say about Howie is that he's always looking around. He's always on the phone, always trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so he's the type of personnel executive who would try to do it. But I want to ask you, what role do you think Doug Peterson has in it? And knowing Doug, do you think Doug wants a move?
Well, Doug was asked today during his press conference, you know, what kind of involvement, when is he brought, you asked him, Zach, when are you brought into the fold in terms of whether or not to trade for a guy? Actually, I first asked him about the trade deadline. He said, well, that would be a Howie question.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
which is the answer,
which is fine. I mean, there's definitely a separation between church and state here, right? I mean, Doug's in charge of the locker room, in charge of the team to an extent, and Howie's in charge of personnel. And Doug, they probably meet a lot, but I don't think Howie's going to him when he's looking at every certain player, he's talking to every team, and a certain name comes up and saying, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? No, I think and the reason why you asked it is, let's say it is Frank Gore, and it gets to a level like, oh, what's the compensation, et cetera. Maybe then you bring Doug in, you say, all right, well, is this something that you would sign off on? But again, Doug doesn't sign off on it. Howie has final say over personnel. He has final say over the 53-man roster. So it's going to be Howie's decision. Now, Howie isn't going to make this decision in a vacuum. No. He's going to listen to Doug. And as you mentioned, and as Doug said himself, I mean, he likes the guys he has in his locker room. That's a coach thing to say. Typically, you're not going to go out there and say, oh, yeah, I want to replace something, because you don't want to turn off your players.
But I think Doug really believes in that, and I think chemistry right now is good. These guys, we're in there almost every day, yep. Zach. The feeling I get from this locker room, and maybe this is a good story for down the road, although it's really hard to kind of write about chemistry, but this is probably the best chemistry I have felt in an Eagles locker room since I've covered the team.
Interesting. Yeah. I can see that.
Again, it's hard to quantify that. Yeah. But, and winning certainly plays a role in that. But I've been around other winning teams. I haven't been around a 7-1 team. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it feels to be around a 7-1 team.
You were around in 2014. They were 6-2, I believe.
6-2, as were you. They were 9-3. Mm-hmm. That team felt good, but it didn't feel like this.
Yeah.
Even in 2013, when things were going really well for Chip, late that season, they finished 7-1, I believe. And yeah, they felt good, especially after that snowball victory over the Lions. I still felt like there were some guys that just weren't 100% committed to the program.
But I asked you about Doug's involvement because I think it's important that our readers and listeners kind of see behind the scenes the way it worked with the previous administration, and it was only 1 year, but when Chip Kelly was the coach and he was also in charge of personnel, is that Chip would go to Ed Manowitz, would go to personnel and say, let's upgrade spot X, go find the players for spot X, and then, they would go over it. The way it works now is the personnel department would come to Doug and say, we're going to add such and such.
Right. Doug isn't going to them
and
saying, I want this or need that. I mean, you have an injury and he said, okay, these are my notes. This is what I prefer. But they know the schemes. They know what he would prefer. I don't think that's that big of a leap for Joe Douglas and his crew to make. Because essentially it's going to be Joe and his staff that narrows the pool of players down.
Yeah, Dwayne Joseph, he's in charge of pro personnel for
that. Right, and then they hand it off to Howie. And then Howie will look at it, and then Howie will kind of get involved in that at that level. And look at the players themselves, and then if there's a potential trade, get on the phone. I mean, Howie's big on – he watches the film, but Howie's bigger on calling around and talking and getting intel on players because he does have a lot of connections around the league. Mm-hmm. I think he does that a lot more than most personnel heads. But then ultimately it's going to come down to him.
And the last question I have to you about this is, do you think they need something? I mean, do you think if on Wednesday morning when this team arrives, if it's mainly the same team, maybe they sign someone off of a practice squad to fill Jordan Hicks's roster spot, if they do that, do you think any different of their chances?
No, I don't think it's going to change anything.
Yeah.
I don't think you make the move. I mean, how many times have the Patriots make mid-season additions? They've done it before.
They have. They actually got one from the Eagles. They got Isaac Sopoaga in 2013.
Right.
Yeah.
That team did not make the World Series. I mean, the World Series. Make the Super Bowl.
That team? That was Seahawks-Broncos that year. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That was the year they
all
lost.
Because Sopoaga.
Sopoaga, yeah.
No, I mean, and I think, Bill Belichick would tell you that, I've spent all my We started in April. Actually, we started way earlier than that in terms of thinking about what this team is going to be.
But that is an active team in terms of the trade market. I mean, they do make.
Yeah, but typically more in the off season. I think you want to coach up the guys that you've brought in since April, and you've worked with them for several months, and you believe in your front office in terms of the guys that they brought in. This team is playing well. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. There are certain areas of concern, I think. We've talked about them extensively, and you have to be looking to upgrade all the time. But the NFL is a different animal. It's not baseball. You just can't plug guys in and all of a sudden expect it to have an impact.
I've spoken to Howie about this before, and he's said that exact same quote. You and Howie are on the same wavelength, that you can't take the third baseman from the Yankees and put it – or that – third baseman on the Yankees can go to the plate, third base in the Phillies, and just do it the next night. In football, there's so much more to it. You look at scheme, you look at understanding of the scheme. It's different in that regard.
And from what I understand, I think was there. I don't think there were any trade deadline day deals last year. I think there were a few days beforehand.
Yeah, leading up to it.
Oh, wait, the Patriots did make a deal. They dealt Chandler Jones.
No, that was that was before the season. The Chandler Jones.
No, there was somebody else they traded last year, a couple days before.
But they did make. Do you remember
who it was? There was something. They did make a move.
I do remember them. I think they got Akeem Ayers at one point during. I mean, that might have been 2 years
back
ago.
In the day. Yeah. But I remember the Eagles have done trades themselves in season, and a lot of times it just doesn't work, and you're like, oh my god, what were you thinking? Or the guys, next thing you know, they get traded, and sometimes they've had to do it out of necessity, training camp injuries, early season injuries. But a lot of times it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think when it has worked. Will Witherspoon, I remember them adding as a linebacker in the 2009 season. He did okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trade with the Titans. But he was gone, actually, the next offseason. So
in terms of in season, in the time that I've covered them, they haven't really made any significant in-season moves. They traded... They made deals in the preseason. They acquired Cody Parkey at one point. You know, they've done, but a kicker is similar to that third base analogy where you can kick. There's no scheme involved there with kicking. But no, most of Howie's big moves come during the offseason.
Right.
That being said, Howie hasn't really been in a situation where I think they're this much of a contender. That's why it's worth pointing out. And I've said this the past few weeks that when you have a shot in the NFL, you need to do everything you can to maximize it because it is hard. And I mean, I don't need to tell you. You go year to year. There are teams that are in it 1 year and completely out of it the next. The Eagles look like they're going to be in it this year.
And I think some of the moves that they've made in terms of the roster now have told you that, like, maybe earlier in the season they were okay with having Isaac Seumalo at right guard. But then they realized, left guard, they're like, oh, we got to get this guy out of here. We don't have the luxury of grooming him this entire season because we have a good team. We can win. And that's also why Chance Wormack and Stefan Wisniewski aren't rotating at that position because, again, Stefan's better than Chance. And I know that you want to look towards the future and think that maybe Chance has a potential to be a starter down the road, but you can't think that way now.
Yeah.
Everything has to be about winning
this year
as much as you can this year.
Yep. That's a wrap for this Bird's Eye View podcast. We will be back later this week. You can follow us on iTunes, subscribe, leave comments. We'll check them out. Until next time, that's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.